So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Like notes through the hourglass, these are the songs of our lives. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Songs of Our Lives. I am Brad Rose. I am an artist, a composer, a writer, the founder of Foxy Digitalis, and someone who thinks about music and sound far more than is healthy. Each week I invite on a guest to talk about the songs, the music that has meant a lot to them and left its mark. Previous guests include Dorian Wood, White Boy Scream, Jalen. The list goes on and on, really. But this week I am super excited to have Dan's on the show. We recorded this show actually late last year, and then the holidays happened, and, you know, anyway. So when we recorded this, she had just recently released a new EP called Larm, which is so good. It's funny. I'd listened to it a lot in the lead up to this, and then we talked about it. The more I kind of, she talked about it, the more I wanted to hear it, and I kind of became obsessed with it. And then, just in time for this episode, last week, she released a new song called Over the Ocean, which is off an upcoming record she's got happening later this year. She's always up to such cool stuff. She's making amazing videos. She's got the Synth History website, which is phenomenal. Like, there's cool interviews, just cool articles. It's called Synth History. Obviously, that is right in my wheelhouse and probably in yours. So yeah, I was really excited. It took us a while to make this happen, but it was a lot of fun. So yeah, check out Larm, check out the new song, be on the lookout for the new record. A little bit of housekeeping as we enter 2026. Holy cow. Episodes will hopefully continue weekly. That's the plan. You know, there may be hiccups along the way. I got a lot of other projects going on, but that is the hope. There's also going to be some single band episodes. They're going to be shorter. They're going to be exclusive to the Patreon. I'm excited to do those. Wanted to do it for a while. And the first one is happening soon with Mark Masters on the Velvet Underground. And check out my new project called Morning Sounds. It is, well, I'll just leave a link in the show notes. It's a new free thing on Bandcamp that I'm doing that everyone's welcome to contribute to. Check out the link. Look it up. All that stuff. And, you know, join the Patreon, all those kind of things, because it really helps keep all this going, and I appreciate y'all. And yeah, now hear me talk to Dan's, and I hope you enjoy it. My guest today is a composer, a synthesist, an educator, a journalist, a podcaster, a label boss, a synth historian. I'm sure I'm leaving something out, but welcome to the show. It's Dan's. Woo!
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
Glad to be here.
So you've got a new EP, Larm, that just came out in the last few weeks.
Yes, indeed.
It came across my inbox. I keep going back to this krautrock inspired medieval album idea, which is such a specific combination. And I'm really curious how those two worlds kind of came together in your head, started talking to each other.
Yeah. So I wrote Larm Very quickly. I've actually been working on a more of a synth pop record the past 3 years. And I was in the process of getting it mixed and then getting it mastered by this woman, Hiba Kadri, who's super talented.
Hell yeah.
Mastered Bjork and Slow Dive and stuff. But was spending a lot of time on that and investing a lot of money in it. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to release it on my own label, which I have, or try and get it released somewhere else. So it's kind of on the back burner being finished. And in the meantime, I just got antsy and wanted to make music. And I became really obsessed with just that, like, krautrock music from a few years back, because I had gone on tour in Europe opening for a band, TV Girl, and I'd go to all these record stores and kind of ask the people at the record stores to recommend me some stuff. But I got obsessed with the idea of just making an album without thinking too much about it. And the record that I was working on that was getting mastered, I put a lot of thought into the song structures and the lyrics and how you do with a synth pop song, which is how my other albums like Davos and The Absurdity of Human Existence are kind of like that. And I just wanted to make something where I just wasn't overly thinking about it. And originally it was going to be an instrumental album, but I went on like a long road trip and I listened to this podcast episode by Dan Carlin, who does he does a hardcore history, and he had an episode called Twilight of the Aesir, two-part podcast series on the Viking Age. And I listened to it to and from the way to San Francisco, like Northern California. It's like 10 hours or something like that. And it was just like really in my head, but in particular... sorry to ramble about this.
No, this is, I love it.
but just in particular how I thought it was really interesting how there were these peoples that existed, that all, had a particular religion. You know, you think of Thor now and it sounds kind of like a myth or folklore. But that was what people, you know, people believed in as a god. And then eventually, you know, other religions would take over, namely like Christianity would come and take over, and would label those people pagans and heathens. And it's just very interesting to me how, just something like that kind of just turns into like a myth over time. And, so just the lyrics were very inspired by, you know, not to get too dark, but how we'll all like turn to dust or something. but that was the one song, Valhalla, was influenced by that. But then just the other, there's only two songs with lyrics on them. And then the other song is called Hey Angel. And that one is basically, I just thought about being stuck in a castle dungeon and what you would think of just hallucinating and hoping that somebody would save you. And so it's this person talking to an angel in this dungeon that they're stuck in. And originally the lyrics were a lot more intricate and detailed, but then I just was like, this is too much. It's not like a Rush song or something. So I just kind of eliminated a lot of the lyrics and made it simple. And that's how that combination came to be.
I love it. Now you've got me like super curious about the original lyrics.
It was a whole story about like going to a castle and then, you know, trying to sneak in. And then concealing your weapons, and then somebody takes you hostage, and then I don't know.
Wow.
I did, I have a version that I exported with all of the lyrics. So maybe someday.
Yeah, that'll can be. Yeah, if the 10-year anniversary, like the bonus cut or something. Mm-hmm. that's awesome, though. No, I think I know, like, Hardcore History. I've listened to. I don't think I've heard that episode, though. I'm gonna have to go listen to it. But I don't know. I get really excited about when people, like, something just sort of tickles your brain, and then you go down this rabbit hole, and it becomes part of a creative project. That gets me really excited. So that story is so my thing.
Yeah, I'm always, I love his podcast. I mean, I was listening to it back when I started Synth History, and I feel like that was probably one of the inspirations for just, like, the simplicity of the name. But I'm always inspired by, I just love things of the past and old stories and stuff like that.
My partner's an archaeologist, so
Oh, nice.
Get to learn about all sorts of weird, obscure things. And I love it. It's the best. Well, speaking of synth history, I did want to ask, because it's such an awesome resource. I'm curious, though, because this is something I think about a lot of times doing Foxy Digitalis, and I have my own music and art and stuff. I'm curious if, like, working on Synth History, like, doing the interviews and all that stuff, if it ever, like, if it influences, like, how you approach music, or if anyone, like, you've interviewed someone and it's changed the way you thought about something and how you approach something or anything like that?
I don't, you know, I think about that, but I don't know. I feel like, obviously subconsciously you learn from whatever you're doing. And I think I've definitely probably learned, some things. I mean, there's, Michael Stein is a musician that I interviewed, and he mixed an instrumental record of mine that's coming up. Nice. And he will give me pointers and tips on things. But I think a lot of the musicians that I've interviewed that I look up to kind of have usually kind of similar advice to give. Because I ask, like, how do you overcome writer's block, for example, or what inspires you? They all kind of say that you just have to kind of do it, which sounds easy, but, and then in terms of inspiration, it's, you kind of can't pick what you're inspired by. It just, sometimes you're inspired and sometimes you're not inspired, but
sometimes
yeah,
you hear a story about Vikings and there you go.
But it's been cool doing the interviews. I mean, it's interesting because I've been making music as a musician, producer since like 2011, and had a career as an underground artist and released a bunch of records in Japan and would tour over there. Was never signed here in the States. But when I started doing Synth History, I never expected it to, anybody to care at all. It was just a side project during the pandemic. And now, more often people have heard of Synth History and not my music. And I'm like, oh no, like, I've been doing music for way longer. Synth History is just something I do on the side. But it's been really cool, obviously, to talk to my heroes, and it's been a cool experience.
That resonates with me on, like, a cellular level. Everyone's like, "Oh yeah, you write about music and do that." I'm like, "Yeah, that's a side project." And, but I don't know. I guess people are paying attention one way or another, so that's something.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, cool. Well, we got a lot of songs to talk about, so I'm going to awkwardly segue into the meat of this whole thing. And as ever, going to start with What is the first song that you remember?
So the first song that I remember was actually like a whole cassette tape, and it was the soundtrack to Grease, the musical Grease. I don't know why my parents bought me that.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
They're not, I don't even think they were a fan of Grease. I think they just probably saw it at the FYE or whatever store at the mall and got it. But yeah, so the Grease soundtrack cassette, all those songs, but I mean, I loved Frankie Valli's Grease. Yeah, so I would say that is kind of pretty much the first song that I remember. And because it was one of the only cassettes I had, I would just replay it and replay it and replay it.
Right. Yeah, it's funny how many people, and my answer to this, it's like, it's often a soundtrack, especially like, so I'm 46, so people my age in that, you know, where you couldn't just access everything, but so many people I know, like their first thing was some kind of soundtrack.
Yeah.
This song rules, though. I didn't realize this until I was kind of prepping for this, that Barry Gibb actually wrote this.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, oh, no wonder that's got, it's like the groove and like the bass lines. Like, yeah, it totally feels like the Bee Gees.
Yeah, it's very groovy. To listen back to it now, I still love the song. It's great.
Yeah. Have you seen, I'm assuming you've seen Grease. Is it?
Oh,
like,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
Have you seen Grease 2?
I haven't. I've heard not very good things, but I don't know. Maybe it's not bad. I've never seen it, though. I don't know anything about it.
I don't really either. There's a like film podcast I listen to sometimes, and the guy who hosts it like swears by Grease 2.
Oh, really?
Better film. Yeah. He's like, it's so much better.
That's so funny. Maybe I need to watch it.
I know. I keep trying to tell myself to watch. I still haven't done it. I've heard this for the past 2 years, but one of these days. Okay. Well, what is a song? Well, first of all, do you consider yourself a crier?
I don't consider myself a crier, but I will be listening to the most random songs, and it must be like the kind of mood that I'm in. And I'll sometimes like start like crying because something is just so good, you know. Yeah. not because the lyrics are sad or anything, but I don't know, it just makes you feel a certain kind of way. And it'll be the most random stuff sometimes. But
what is a song maybe in that vein, or I don't know. What's the song you picked?
Well, so the song I picked was a song called Waterloo Sunset by a band called The Kinks. And so when I was younger, so my parents were not very musical. They didn't introduce me to any of the great bands. I mean, my mom listened to a band called Boston, and that was about it. And my dad was a Deadhead and Allman Brothers, which I like the Grateful Dead. But they just weren't very, very musical. And so a lot of bands I had to discover myself. And of course, when I was growing up, Torrents were a really big thing. Napster was a really big thing. Mm-hmm. And, I just downloaded this, greatest hits, compilation of the Kinks. And I went through all of the Kinks stuff. Mm-hmm. And then if I found a song that I liked, then I would try and find that particular album. And Waterloo Sunset is on Something Else by the Kinks, I think it's called. And, but yeah, I just remember really loving that song. And I think as a young person, to have a song affect me, in that way, I just wasn't very used to. And, yeah, it kind of opened up my world a little bit. 'Cause then I looked up Waterloo, what the song was written about, a bridge. And, I would just look it up. And then I got into more bands from the 60s and stuff. But yeah, it's a really sweet song, and it still it gives me a tear even now. I'll get a little tear.
It does. It has like this sort of melancholic and dreamy quality to it that I think sort of lends itself to, like, 'cause I get kind of emotional listening to this too. I hadn't listened to it in a while, and I don't know. I think there's something. This is kind of one of those songs, just the way it feels like it's made and written is just almost kind of perfect that it gets me emotional. But
yeah, it has like this bittersweet quality. Like, mm-hmm. it's sad, but at the same time, like, things are going to be okay, kind of. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, it's a good one. Yeah.
Well, on the flip side, what's a song that will put you in a better mood?
So the one I picked for this is a song called Lujan by Henry Mancini. And I discovered this song by watching The Big Lebowski. It's on the Big Lebowski soundtrack.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it plays during, like, when they're in, like, that really fancy house. I'm trying to think of.
I think so. When it's played. I forgot this was in that.
Yeah. But this song will just, like, transport you to, like, you're on a vacation or something like that. Mm-hmm. The strings are just very beautiful. And it's like you're on a beach somewhere. And it's hard to be in a bad mood when you're listening to that song.
Yeah. Oh, man. I forgot it's in The Big Lebowski. Yeah. This one, it's like a different kind of dreamy, but it has that, like, the strings and stuff. And I just love the percussion and just how it sounds. Like, there's just, I don't know, it's like this almost tactile quality to it. It's so, yeah, this song makes me happy. Like, just talking about it makes me happy. So, gosh, okay, this makes me, I haven't seen The Big Lebowski in a long time. Now I want to go watch it just to see what scene this is in. Okay, everybody's favorite question. What is objectively the best song of all time?
So I'm going to say, of course, I had to say a Radiohead song, because big Radiohead fan, grew up listening. They shaped a lot of my teenage years. And I'm going to say Subterranean Homesick Alien off OK Computer is going to be my song that I would show. That I would show an alien if they landed.
Yeah. It's a good, like, yeah. I had a period where I was super obsessed with Radiohead around this time. Like, around, it was like OK Computer, Kid A, Amnesiac.
Yeah.
And for a long time, they were my partner's favorite band. Like, one of the best, maybe the best live show music experience I've ever had is I got to see them in, God, it's been 2000. It was the Kid A tour at the Gorge in Washington. And, like, I don't know if you've ever been to the Gorge, but it is, I mean, it's like you're on the side of a hill looking over this, like, river.
Oh, cool. And
it was transcendent.
Wow. I'm jealous. But, yeah, that sounds like a cool experience.
It was, yeah, it was amazing. But yeah, this, like, I don't know, every, like, okay, a computer. There's a handful of songs on that record that still just get me every time. And this is one.
Well, I was going to say Paranoid Android at first, but I think I have more memories listening to Subterranean Homesick Alien.
Yeah.
I grew up in upstate New York and kind of out in the woods. And I worked at a pizza place as a kid. And when I would drive home on, like, the backcountry roads, I would just put on that song and just, yeah, you know, look up at the stars.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's like the perfect vibe for this. that's awesome. Yeah. No, I was listening to it yesterday again. And yeah, it kind of took me back to, I guess, yeah, would have been in my early 20s. If I can do math. And yeah, I don't know. There's something about this song that feels like really weightless. I think it's, I don't know what the combination of effects like Johnny has on his guitar, but it feels very specific and very, it just, it like scratches every right itch for me or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, either this or like Let Down always kills me. And I guess that song seems to apparently is having a, like a moment on TikTok or something.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. My niece was telling me this, like keeping me informed, me and the old uncle informed, but she's like, don't you like Radiohead? I keep hearing this song.
Oh man, I gotta check it out.
I know. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But okay, what is a song that most people hate? Whoever these people are, I don't know. Some group of people. People hate it. You don't care. You love it anyway.
Okay. But this one I have two. It's
okay.
Because I just had to say both of them because they're both pretty silly. So one is a song that always gets stuck in my head, and I don't know why. Maybe it was playing on the radio a bunch when I was growing up, but it's a song called Where Do You Go by this band or music group called No Mercy. Have you ever heard of the song? It's like, where do you go?
I didn't think when I listened to it, yes, yeah.
Da, 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 da. Where do you go, go, go? You know,
I didn't think, like, I didn't know what it was when I saw your list, but then I listened to it. I was like, oh, yeah, I've heard this. I know this song.
Yeah, it just gets stuck in my head. I don't know why.
It's because it's kind of a banger. And I really like his voice, or like the way it's recorded, because it feels like, I'm assuming, like, it sounds like his voice is like doubled or tripled, but there's this almost like fake quality to it, but in a good way. I don't know. It just, I find it very appealing.
Yeah. I don't know why. And then the other one I was going to say is Eiffel 65 Blue. And then in parentheses, Daba D, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And
this is like an all-time banger, right?
Well, I think it annoys people, but I just think, like, I don't know, the art direction behind the whole thing with like the visuals for it are just so silly.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just a very catchy song, so
it
those
is,
are my two.
I think these are perfect choices. I love them. And I think, and the, like, your call out to the silliness of like the I love that too. I get into conversations with people a lot of time about how I wish there was more like silliness and fun, and because I don't know, a lot of the music that I write about and listen to and that is very serious, and it's very,
yeah.
That's, you know, I make music that people think is very serious too, but it's like, come on, bring some silliness into it. And I also wonder too, with like a song like this, that, because, you know, this song, it's like, because it's like part of the zeitgeist at this point. It's just like so ubiquitous.
Yeah.
I wonder what it's like to write something like that. Like,
yeah. And
it's
just
be weird.
I wonder what they're doing now. I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't either. I mean, it's, can you, if you have a song that is this big, can you just retire? I mean, I don't know if
oh,
it
wow.
works that way anymore.
Did you know that the band was from Italy? I just looked it up. I had no idea.
I learned that while preparing for this.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because I had no idea.
Wow, you're a Euro dance group. I just learned something new today.
Yeah, I feel like when I read that, though, it sort of made sense to me. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, that tracks.
It does. Yeah. Thinking about it now, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. This is a song I didn't know think would ever come up on this podcast. Like over 100 episodes in, I'm so glad it finally did.
That's really funny.
Okay. Do you think of yourself as a romantic?
Sometimes I can be. Not very often. I'm not like into rom-coms or anything like that. And I'm not too romantic. I don't know. Maybe my partner would say that I am, but I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes, I guess. If the situation calls for it.
I think that's good. That's a fair answer. I think, yeah. What then is the most romantic song?
So I'm going to say Our Way to Fall by a band called Yola Tango, off an album called And Then Nothing Turned Itself Inside Out from the early 2000s. I think that song's really romantic. And there's another song on that album that was a close second that I was going to say, but it's a song called You Can Have It All, which is a cover. But both of those songs, I think, are romantic. But if I had to go with one, I would say Our Way to Fall is a romantic song.
It's funny, like literally the last episode of this I recorded, this was their pick for this song.
Oh, no way, really?
Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, how does that happen?
Wow.
But I mean, I kind of get it because it's like a song that just, I feel like it's like it has this softness and it just kind of glows around you. And it's, I don't know. It just feels like romance to me.
Yeah. It's a really sweet one. I love Yola Tango, and they were another band kind of like the Kinks where, I had listened to their, I guess it was a retrospective. What the heck was it called? I Can Hear the Heart Beating as One. And I loved that album. And then I branched out into more of their music. But yeah, I love them. I love the song called Moby Octopad. I love the do 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 do. I love it. That might be a song. There is one of those questions where which is a song that you love that other people don't. Oh well, the blue dava dee dava da.
This could be the third intro.
Well, I feel like I'll play that song sometimes, and like other people are annoyed because it just. That melody is just throughout kind of the entire song, but I love it. But yeah, Yola Tango, You Can Have It All is my pick.
Yeah, there. I think this was the first Yola Tango album I ever owned. I was trying to figure this out last time when I was recording this, and it's still one of my favorite albums ever. I mean, yeah.
I want to see them live. I haven't been able to see them.
Saw them a long time ago and it was outstanding, but I want to see them again. Like, they're one of those bands too that I feel like it's like goals kind of thing, because they've been doing it for so long and they're still just doing amazing stuff. I don't know. It's I hope when I'm like 40 years into my career, I'm still killing it. What about lyrics? Can lyrics like make or break a song for you? Like if they're really bad?
I guess it depends if the song itself like makes up for it. The lyrics can be kind of dumb if the song, I don't know. If the song is catchy or it has something interesting about it. You know, I mean, like, as I have proven before with the Eiffel 65 right. song and the No Mercy song, I'm just like, I'm not a music snob. I know I love all types of different kinds of music and have a big vinyl collection, but I'm definitely not a music snob. And I would say the lyrics don't make or break a song for me. I can't think of a song where I listen to lyrics and I like all the other aspects of a song. Because then if the song's good enough, I think it could justify the lyrics, I guess.
Right. Well, what, in that case, what are your favorite lyrics?
So this is another double. I picked two. Okay. The first one is a song by a band called Flo and Eddie. And the song is called Keep It Warm. And this song I discovered on a radio station in the New York tri-state area, New Jersey area, called WFMU. And one of my favorite shows on WFMU is called Garbage Time. Matt Warwick is the host of the show. And I found a lot of great music off that show. I found the song called Heavy Metal. I forgot the freaking name of the guy who sings it. But anyway, discovering the song Heavy Metal led me to discover the animated film of the same name, because it's on that soundtrack, which was a great movie, but I'm going on a tangent. But Matt Warwick on Garbage Time played this song by Flo and Eddie, Keep It Warm. And I just remember hearing the lyrics and I was like, what the hell is this song? Like, what? They're very sarcastic lyrics, but it's basically just about how the time period they wrote it in, there was wars going on, and you know, there, I think one of the lyrics, I've got to look it up. I mean, because if you just read the lyrics without listening to the rest of the song, that might be very jarring. But I think it's like, shoot, I don't even want to say it because I feel like it's like kind of bad. But they're just like talking about violence and some of the lyrics. But then I can't find it now. I'm trying to look on the internet. Anyway, but then another part of the song, they're like, you know, kill. I think a line is like, kill a whale with your powers, shoot a bunch of kids from a tower.
Right.
like, or the ending of the song is what pulls everything together, because they're basically talking about how, you know, terrible war is and all the absurd stuff that's going on in the world. And then the end is like, or make a better world from the old one, put a baby, or make a baby and hold one or something. It's just like ties it all together. And it's like saying like, stop destroying the world, and fix this one, basically, you know?
Yeah.
So it's promoting peace, and I like that song. And those guys, Flo and Eddie, were in Frank Zappa's, Mothers of Invention. And then that is tied with a song by World Party called Is It Like Today? ? Which is a song I covered because I liked it so much. But the song kind of has a similar idea where, you know, throughout time, human beings kind of repeat the same mistakes. They go to war over religion and power and destroy each other. And it just keeps on happening throughout time. And that it kind of ends in, like, I don't know, kind of a similar way. But I would say the lyrics, it's not just a single line, but it's the whole song in its entirety for both of them. But yeah, those would be my picks.
I love one of the things I really love about that World Party song is how it is like, he's asking all these like kind of big important questions, and it's about these very big issues. But the song feels like so like alive and urgent, and even kind of hopeful. Like there's a hopefulness to it and the way, I don't know, I think it's kind of genius the way he's able to like stitch all of that together in a way that is, it like makes sense, and it's just really compelling, and it's a great song. God, it's a great song.
It's great. And then there's one line where it's like, blood just looks the same when it runs in your veins or something. But like, mm-hmm. he's just saying we're all kind of, you know, underneath it all, we're all human beings and don't have to disagree over everything. But yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah. Awesome. What song have you or can you listen to the most?
So the Brian Jonestown Massacre, like Radiohead, is another band that I just listened to all the time growing up. I had one of those last.fm accounts. Mm-hmm. You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
And my top bands were Radiohead, this band called The Cribs. Do you remember them?
No.
They're like this British band called The Cribs, C-R-I-B-S. And I don't know, I discovered them from reading like the NME magazine or something like that. But I was obsessed with them. But Brian Jonestown Massacre, I was also obsessed with. And I would say their Satanic Majesty's Second Request, I really loved. But anything off that record, anything off, they had a retrospective record called Tepid Peppermint Wonderland that I just had on repeat all the time. But Anemone is probably a song that I've listened to hundreds of times.
That's a great song.
But yeah, but really anything off that retrospective. Because like I said, like I discovered bands that way. I would listen to the retrospective, and then the songs that I liked off there, I'd be like, oh, let me see what's on the rest of the album. And you want to hear a really funny story is that how I discovered the Brian Jonestown Massacre as a kid. So I was really into this band called The Killers. I'm sure you've heard of them. Yeah. And they had a fake feud, I think it was, with a band called The Bravery. Do you remember them?
Name is familiar. Yeah.
So The Bravery had a song called An Honest Mistake, which if you Google it, you've probably, it would probably bring back memories. But anyway, I was downloading torrenting songs, and I torrented a song by The Bravery. It said The Bravery Open Heart Surgery. And I was listening to it, and I was like, this doesn't sound like The Bravery. And it was somebody had like changed the artist name from the Brian Jonestown Massacre to The Bravery. So I was actually listening to the Brian Jonestown Massacre. And that's how I got into them, is I downloaded a torrent that mistakenly said that they were somebody else. And so, yeah, from there, Open Heart Surgery is like this very kind of a dark song. But I got really into Brian Jonestown Massacre from there. And then, of course, I watched the documentary Dig, which was a great documentary. I just saw it again at Brain Dead, and Joel from Brian Jonestown Massacre did like a Q&A at the end.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was cool. They added all these like extra scenes and stuff. And I saw them play last weekend, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so very fresh in my mind. But yeah, that's probably what I can and have listened to the most.
Yeah, that's all. I love this song. I don't know. It has like this sort of like hypnotic circular quality to it where you just get sucked into this vortex. And just thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, I could just put this on repeat and probably just space out for an
hour. Yeah, it's perfect for that. It's perfect for that.
What's the best hype song?
So the best hype song I'm going to say is Link Ray's Rumble, which I don't remember how I discovered the song. I think that a band that I saw when I was younger, like played it before they went on stage or something like that. I don't remember how I found it, but it's just like a great song. Like if you put on your headphones, like walking into like a restaurant or like walking into somewhere where you don't feel socially comfortable or something, put that song on your headphones and get ready to roll. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I have like a playlist of hype songs that I put on that I'll listen to before I'm gonna play a show, and that just kind of get me going, and this is on it. So I love Link Ray, and I can't, every time I think about this being recorded in the 50s, and I can't get my head around it, because it's just, I mean, I think he was one of, if not the first person to use distortion.
Yeah.
Which is still wild to me. And like, this doesn't sound like, I don't know, this to me sound, if someone sent this to me and was like, oh yeah, this is on a record that came out last year, I'd probably believe it, because there's something about it that still feels really contemporary.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's just, like, I mean, it's,
Did you know that it was banned from radio stations or something because of the title of it was called Rumble, and it was, people thought it would incite violence or something?
No.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's wild. Man. Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
I've now pulled up the Wikipedia, and it's, God, this is fascinating. It says, like, while attempting to work up a backing for the Diamond song, The Stroll, they came up with this. What? That's crazy. That's amazing. Man. Well, yeah, this is such a good hype song though.
A good one.
Okay, last two questions. So what is the song that means the most to you? And it's not necessarily because of the song itself, but you associate it with something or someone or some certain memory. It's really important.
So I'm going to say, I'm going to do a callback to a song, because I was trying to think about this, and I think it would have to be Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks.
Nice.
Because I just feel like that song, I discovered the Kinks before the Beatles and before the Rolling Stones, and I don't know, they were just the first band, one of like the classic legendary rock bands, I would say, that just kind of opened up the world a little bit for me.
Yeah.
I just always go back to that song. I would say that one if I had to pick.
I was gonna say, you said something earlier, but you know, talking about how with like a lot of these bands, you kind of first discover them through sort of like greatest hits or best of compilations. Yeah. And I like, because I so relate to that, and I think about, so I have a daughter, she's 12, and how that is such a not a thing that even exists in her mind, just because, you know, when you growing up not having access to everything at your fingertips, you have like, that was, those like best of albums were so important to my musical like discovery.
Well, I feel like, you know, because I think about this often, and I'm like, when I show people music now, I go by album. Like, you got to check out this album. You have to check, you know, listen to this album all the way through. But I didn't have, when I was younger, there was nobody recommending anything to me. Like, my parents were never like, you got to listen to Abbey Road.
Right. You know?
And I feel like this stuff I just kind of discovered, you know, on my own through pirating music on the internet. But yeah, and then it would just lead me from there. I mean, how I discovered a lot of music was I would just go on forums of mm-hmm. bands I really liked. So
yeah,
if I liked, you know, the Killers, for example, I would go on the Killers forum, and then it would be like a section where people would talk about who the Killers were influenced by, and somebody mentioned New Order or something, and I'd be like, yeah. Oh, who's New Order? And then
right,
and then I would discover New Order, and then there would be like people would make kind of mixtapes and upload those too. Like I remember I really loved Nick Cave and The Birthday Party, and there was this mix that somebody made that was songs that inspired Nick Cave, and then on that mix was the song called Avalanche by Leonard Cohen, and then that's how I discovered Leonard Cohen. So I feel like it was kind of neat back then, because you weren't, you know, now there's just algorithms and you don't even have to necessarily think with Spotify. It just tells you you'll like this, and it's good at it. I think it's does a good job.
Right.
But at the same time, I just feel like that was my favorite period of time discovering music was when the internet existed, but you didn't always have it with you all the time. Mm-hmm. And you could go into record stores and find cool stuff online. But yeah, that's how I discovered a lot of stuff.
Yeah, man. Oh, I relate to that so much. And I don't know. It's very different. And, you know, now, like, my kid is the one who keeps showing me stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay.
It's like, Dad, have you heard of Radiohead?
Oh, yeah. I know. There was something that I can't remember what it was now, but it was like a friend of hers was like told her about it, and she was telling me about. And I can't really remember, but I actually like knew one of the people from doing all of this for so long. And she was just like, what? You've talked to them? I'm like, yeah, like we used to. And so that was like my coolest dad moment. Now it's mostly she's showing me all, it's like K-pop and stuff, but, which is totally fine. Okay, last question. What, at least in this moment of time, maybe it changes, but what right now is your favorite song?
So this is when I mentioned The Wicker Man before. I was watching The Wicker Man the other night, and there are these notes that is in a song in called Lullaby on The Wicker Man. It's like bing 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 bing, and it made me think of Broadcast song I Found the F. And so I started listening to Broadcast. I'll go through phases, as I'm sure you do too, where, you know, you are like, oh yeah, I love Broadcast. And then you go through a phase of listening to them again. I was listening to Ha Ha Sound, which is not the album that I Found the F is on, but on Ha Ha Sound, there's a song called Ominous Cloud. And when I was thinking about your questions for the podcast, I was like, oh, this might be one of my favorite songs. And it's kind of competing for I know you said, or one of the questions was, what's a song that puts you in a better mood? And I said Lujan by Henry Mancini, but I would say like this one also puts me in a good mood. But it's my favorite song currently, and
yeah,
somebody listening to this might be thinking, but it's called Ominous Cloud. How can it put you in a better mood? But it's just kind of about getting, you know, getting away. And
yeah,
I don't know.
There are find me on the right day and I will make the case that Broadcast is the greatest band of all time. Like, I genuinely love them that much.
They're great. I feel like Broadcast and Stereolab are some of the best bands.
And this song, the thing that I would come back to that it feels like this, I don't know, this makes sense in my head. I'm probably gonna say this, everyone's gonna be like, what the fuck are you talking about? But it's like, to me, this is like hearing the soundtrack to like a kid's show that's sort of been like left to decay in some forgotten place and then unearthed years later. And it's got, because it feels kind of dreamy and there's something really pleasing about it, but there is this sort of underlying sense of unease that I find super appealing.
Yeah, they do a great job at that. Like the old it's like late 60s, early 70s kind of synth at like educational kids kind of vibe or something. TV show. Yeah, they do such a great job at that. And yeah, they're an awesome band. R.I.P. to Trish Keenan.
For real. Well, that is a wonderful place to end this, because I love Broadcast and everybody should love Broadcast.
Yay.
And, thank you for doing this. This was a whole lot of fun. I'm glad we finally made it happen.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I picked a lot of songs from my childhood. I was gonna try and be, you know, too cool for school. And I was like, oh, synthetry, probably got to pick a lot of synth related songs, but I don't know. I just picked, you know, the first songs that came to my mind that mean something to me. So it was fun to do, and thanks for having me.
Awesome. And everybody, LARM is out now. Do you have any like shows or tours or anything coming up? This probably won't be out till January, but anything you want to plug?
Well, I have a single coming out on January 7th. I don't know if this will be out before or after then, but it's called Over the Ocean, so you should check that out. And then I have I don't know if it'll be announced, but whatever. Then I have another album coming out at the end of January. So lots of stuff coming up. Good. And then doing a couple shows at the Vintage Synth Museum in Los Angeles. They're going to be kind of small shows. They do, Lance at the Vintage Synth Museum holds these like synthesizer sound bath type of things. But I'm doing a couple of those shows and then more stuff later in the year. But that's what's happening close to January.
That's a lot. So you're going to be busy, but that's awesome. Well, cool. I'm excited. There's more new music coming. So once again, thank you to Dan's for help making this happen. You know, constantly had, we had to reschedule multiple times and all those things, but it worked out and it was a blast. And check out her playlist, link to that in the show notes. Check out her still new EP, LARM. Check out the new song. Check out Synth History. Do all of it. All of it. You know, what do you got to lose? Nothing. All right. That's it. Thanks for listening. Until next time, keep on listening to whatever the hell you want.